Love it.
Welcome to Chi Alpha's annual Too Juicy service. We're going to tell you a little bit more about what that means and what's happening tonight, but we just want you to know that we're so glad you're here.
Absolutely.
And can I just say that you all look fabulous. You really do.
Sure. Give yourselves a round of applause.
That's right.
Yeah. Super fun. Hey, if you guys don't know, my name is Andy, and this is my wife, Heather.
Hello.
Yeah, she's awesome. So we're the Ericsons. We're also the campus pastors here in Dayton Chi Alpha, but also with Wright State. We are alumni from Wright State way back in the day, 2003, good year, because I met my wife, and I met Chi Alpha, and just I didn't meet Jesus that year. I met him earlier, but
That's when we started college. We didn't graduate till 07.
Yeah. Which they're like, that's so old anyway. It doesn't really matter, you know, at this point.
15 years on campus this year.
Who knows who Smashing Pumpkins are? Okay, apparently I just picked the one person that does it.
Brie. Because way before it
was
your time.
That was one of my favorite bands in high school, and I was like, you know Smashing Pumpkins, right? She's like, uh-uh.
He sings
like,
in a kilt.
No. Okay, so hey, we've been married, get this, over 10 years. Yeah. Over 10 years. That's super exciting. And so we also have 3 kids. Now, if you know the gender of all of our kids, you need to close your mouth right now. Okay? Some of you got out of the bag a little bit. But we have our daughter's Adelaide. She's 6. Finian is 1.5 years. He's awesome. And we have another baby on the way. A yet unnamed baby. Literally, we don't know the name.
Yeah, we can't figure out.
We can't figure it out.
And side note, this is the first time that we've done the Too Juicy talk when I have like been this pregnant. So I feel like it adds another level, another layer to the conversation.
And this is the first Too Juicy on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Which is amazing. And this is the first time we've ever had a gender reveal at a Too Juicy. So if you guys want to bring it on up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Hey, give it up for Sarah and Brianna. So when you guys are married and you have kids, you can choose to reveal the gender of your children however you like. And we thought it'd be fun to reveal it this way. Are we throwing darts? And you're holding it with your actual hands. Woo! Are you feeling good? You don't have like pregnancy double vision, do you? Okay.
I told Sarah that we're a pretty good shot, so she doesn't really need to worry. I mean, I've been to a couple fairs, right? My dad threw darts semi-pro.
He did.
Heather has good genes with darts. Her father's a semi-pro dart thrower. If I were you guys, I would hold it loosely and like hold it like this. You know? Like don't go behind it, okay? So
I'd like to poll the audience. Who thinks it's a girl? Raise your hand. Wow. Who thinks it's a boy? And everybody else didn't vote. That's okay. All right, Andy, do you want to go first?
I think you should do it.
You just want me to do it? Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. It takes two. It takes two. Okay, you want to go first? So any one of these could have the actual color?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, if we hit it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, round 2. Good genes. We got good genes. Am I up? Am I up or are you up?
Go ahead.
Oh, man, babe. You got to toss that thing. Okay, can we have a dart retriever? If you're just really... Yeah, go. Yeah, it'd be awesome. Okay. Not catcher, retriever, okay? Oh, man. You know, let's just do this later. We'll do it at Reconnect. Is that all right? Okay. Go for it. You got 2. All right. This is only supposed to go till 9 o'clock, so I think we're doing all right. Oh! Hey, if you don't know, it's blue, which means it's a boy. Perfect. That is awesome. I love it. Hey, give it up for Brianna and Sarah. You know, and also give it up for my wife because she's carrying my son. And I didn't want tonight to be just about, you know, Juicy and the gender reveal, but like, I want you to know, man, I'm just totally in love with you. Okay, so I got you some flowers and I got you a card. And also in there is a massage and a facial because I love you. Hey, carrying a baby is hard work, so I've heard, and I've observed, right? Biologically, they kind of talk about like it's literally growing another limb. So if you think about, if you took 9 months while attending school to just grow a third leg, you'd be kind of tired, you'd be, you know, just, yeah, man, it'd just be like, I'm hungry, I need a leg, you know, like I'm growing a leg, and so it's just, it's a lot of work, and so, man, I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you preach, I'm impressed that you get up here and do this, and it's like, man, I'm just impressed, so.
I appreciate you.
I just think we should have more kids.
Let's talk about how that works.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, interesting. So, some of you guys may be aware, but we talked about this at the LTC. So, without intimacy, there's no children, okay? But that goes spiritually speaking, but also physically speaking. So, Adelaide and Finian and our new baby boy, they don't exist because we just, like, sat on the couch and watched Netflix. If you didn't know.
It might have started there.
It might have started there. But kids, so you're like creeping up. Okay. So, yeah, it doesn't happen. You know, it doesn't just happen because you sit on the couch and you're like, you know, bump elbows, that kind of stuff. So, but funny story. So when we were at our honeymoon, okay, we got an awesome gift to go to Lake Tahoe, California for our honeymoon. One of my favorite places on earth because I have a ton of good memories even before my honeymoon. And so we were there for a handful of days and Blockbusters existed back then. So we thought, hey, you know, we're going to do the town thing. We got plenty of stuff to do. We're going to go parasailing, but hey, let's rent some movies around while we're here. You know, it could be fun. So we, of course, rented the Star Wars trilogy on our honeymoon. Okay, I loved
so
it. I'm pretty sure it might have been on VHS. We don't actually remember.
That's what my memory says.
Yeah,
VHS.
It's just super good. So so we definitely started each of the trilogy each night. We started it,
but we didn't finish.
I don't think we finished it. We didn't finish it. So that was like our OG version of, like, you know, you guys heard Netflix and chill. It was like VHS and, like, fill in the blank, you know? I don't really know what it was. But, okay, some of you guys are kind of holding, you know, you're creeping up there. But we need to explain this whole Juicy thing, okay?
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay. Speaking of Netflix and chill, let me explain what tonight is all about. Juicy is the time each year when we talk about the things that need to be talked about. Relationships, intimacy, sex and dating, these are things that are important to the heart of God because he's the one who created relationship and invited us into it and then blessed us to be in relationships. It's him speaking in the Bible where it says, be fruitful and multiply. Okay? Yeah. If these things are important in God's kingdom, but only the world is talking about it, then there's something wrong. And so for us, in the life stage that we are in, we want to talk about these things from a gospel perspective.
Yeah.
Too often these things are avoided because it makes people uncomfortable. But for one night every year, we're willing to make you uncomfortable.
If we don't make you squirm a little bit, we didn't do our job up here tonight. Okay?
I mean, so, Jesus never avoided uncomfortable topics.
Yeah.
He went in guns a-blazing. So if it gets a little too much for you, you're welcome to yell too juicy. And our awesome pastor, Pastor Dan Brown at Bethel Christian at our church, thought tonight sounded awesome. So he, in his classic awesome dad joke fashion, bought you all your own orange to hold up when you yell too juicy in the spirit of orange juice, right? Hey. And then you can take it home later and eat it. It's a free snack.
It's true.
You come to Kyofa and you get free snacks. Come on.
Pastor Brown's like a dad to us. So you guys have dads and they make dad jokes. And so when he told us, they were like, oh, that's just classic dad joke. Like, you just got to love them, right? It's just awesome. So, hey, can you do me a favor? I'm going to take a picture of you guys.
Can you hold up
can
your
you all
oranges?
Hold up your oranges?
That's a hilarious pose.
Perfect.
All right. But hey, before we get started, can we give you like our advisory warning, like our explicit content warning?
Ooh.
Okay.
We don't want to get in trouble. More than we already are. So yes, we have an explicit content warning. I think we have a slide up for that. No, we don't.
Okay. Oh, it didn't work out. That's okay.
Do we have other slides? Okay. Other slides. Great. So close your eyes. Imagine that parental advisory sticker on whatever your parent did not want you to buy, or maybe your parent bought for you, or your older cousin should not have bought for you, okay?
And you hid under your bed.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what's happening here. So continue to keep your eyes closed. No, nobody's going to, you know, do anything weird. Just, you know, it's okay. So, hey, so just so you know, we're careful as pastors not to write messages or talks or sermons hoping that certain people would get this point. Like, Heather doesn't write sermons just trying to particularly think of somebody in mind, okay? You can open your eyes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Don't make it too
weird. We're not praying.
Yeah, sorry. I think you all got that parental advisory burning your brain right now, okay? So, but here's the thing. So we don't write that with specific people in mind, okay? But our hope and our prayer is that the Holy Spirit really would speak to you guys. That the Holy Spirit... Oh, can you go back? I think everybody's reading it. Perfect. It's okay. It's hard being the slide, man. Hey, our hope is that the Holy Spirit really would speak to you guys. That he would press on some things that are maybe sensitive in your life, sensitive in our lives, right? And then in a way that, man, Jesus is just saying, I need that area for me. Or maybe I need you to make that area surrender to me. Or I need to be Lord of that area of your life, right? And so we don't... This is a legit warning, okay? So we don't write any of this stuff. So it's like, if something hits home, really it's not because of us. We just trust that it's God doing it, okay? Can we trust God together? Is that all right? Okay? Can I get a too juicy? Okay. So tonight's message was not written about you. I think we can do a slide. Tonight's message was not written about you, but tonight's message was written about you. Does that
your
make sense?
Life stage, where you're at, what you're going through. We didn't think of you individually, but we did think about this generation.
And like I said, we've been here since 2003, and so we've probably just seen a few things happen over those years, right? That may be similar. So like maybe somebody in the realm of college students that has had a similar struggle than another college student, right? Yeah, it's possible. It probably happened. So we want to dig into that a little bit tonight. So can we do that? Does that sound good? Okay. So maybe awesome. Instead of saying yes, you can just yell too juicy. Okay.
Okay, but now I really am going to pray. All right, okay, pray with good. Me. Father, we really do look to you on a day where romantic love is being worshipped. God, we turn our gaze back to the one who is love. The word says that God is love. You are a person, and what you do towards us is loving God, and so we learn from you. God, we submit ourselves to you tonight to be learners, to be taught by your Holy Spirit. We pray that your blessing would be on what we share, that you would inspire the right parts, and that we would walk away empowered by the power of the gospel to live out godly lives in all that we do, to bring glory to your name, and to experience what Jesus said, that he came to give us life and life to the fullest. thanks, Jesus, that it involves loving one another, because that is an awesome adventure. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So a lot of times when we talk about relationships, right, and when we say relationships, we don't just mean dating or talking, you know, and people say that we're not in a relationship, we're just talking, right? I guess that exists now. It didn't exist when I was a student, you know, we just...
We said things like we're going out.
I didn't really get very much about all that stuff. I was not very good at it, so...
But when you're in, like, middle school, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, we just... I mean, I dated some girls in high school, but we only went to class together.
Right.
And lunch. So I don't know if that really counted. But anyway, so when we talk about relationships, you know, and when we say that, it's beyond just dating. So, you know, open up your mind beyond that. So this is, you know, interaction with brothers and sisters, you know, in Jesus, but also brothers and sisters here, right? Dating, engagement, the whole nine. We often think, and this is normal, but we think, what do I need to do in the relationship, right? We think really, it's really easy for us just to think about ourselves. How do I get into a relationship? What's the appropriate way I need to do this? What do I need to do? What do I look for in a man? What do I look for in a woman, right? That's a common question that we're asking. How far can I go, right? That's a classic question.
Hear that one a lot.
I remember having that talk in middle school in my youth group, and it was extremely uncomfortable, and I didn't know what some of the terminology was, and so I'm like, can we just leave? I'd love to leave right now. I wasn't allowed to say too juicy, but if I could, I would have like yelled on the running out, it's too juicy, you know, middle school Andy, don't picture that. But we can and we should ask those questions, and that's thoughtful and wise to do that in our approach, but tonight we want to go a different angle on it, okay? So almost flip it upside down from those former questions, but when we do that, we're going to look into 1 John chapter 3, so you guys can go ahead and turn there. 1 John chapter 3. It's in the back of your Bible.
This is John writing about the Jesus he knew personally. He has the firsthand account of Jesus. He was very young when Jesus called him to follow him. And so from the age of a teenager, John has grown up with Jesus as his mentor. And now that Jesus has died and resurrected and ascended back up into heaven, this is kind of some of his memoirs about him. And he says in verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son Jesus and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us.
And that's a powerful passage, and we could soak on that a whole lot longer, and probably even in your devotional time with him, with Jesus, as you guys are studying through scripture, this would be a great thing just to meditate on. Like, I love that we got a chance just to soak with Jesus a little bit and worship, and thank you so much for leading us into that. I loved that. Was powerful. It's good to soak into the word. It's good to soak into things like this. And so some of you guys, this verse may be very familiar to you, right? One of the verses was memorized at the LTC, right? 1 John 3:16. But here's the thing. That's not just about discipleship. That's not just about leadership. That's not just about ministry actions towards other people. This is about life. This is about all relationship. This is about the very definition of love, right? This is powerful.
It's about sacrifice. That we, at the very beginning, Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Everything we talk about tonight, we want you to kind of make this the baseline for. Yeah. We're going to ask you hard questions of, like, is sacrifice in this part of your life? is laying down your desires, your wants, your lusts in the forefront of your mind when you are approaching being in intimacy, in an intimate relationship with another person, or being part of a friend group. Being in your core group is sacrificial love at the forefront of what we do. I would even ask the question, when you think about having sex, is laying down what you want and what you hope to gain out of it and what you want the experience to be like part of your thought so that you can love the other person and serve the other person and meet their needs? That is not what you see in movies. Yeah. That is not what 50 Shades of Grey is about.
Or the other two.
And grayer and grayer and black and horrible and hell, right? So love is sacrificial. We consider others greater than ourselves. And so if my partner has an orgasm and I don't, it's okay because I love them. I went there.
And everybody said... Okay, sorry.
I'm just going to drop the mic there.
I was caught off guard by that, babe. Let's be honest. Caught me off guard.
Only tonight.
I'm just waiting for the day that Addie's old enough to...
have this talk?
Yeah, she's with grandma.
I'm not.
She's with grandma and grandpa not having this talk right
when
now.
When she's 25, she can have this talk with me.
Yeah, because she's not dating until she's 35.
Right?
Yeah. That's how it rolls in the Erickson house. Hey, so yeah, Valentine's Day, right? It's all about love. It's all about candy. It's all about flowers. Heart-shaped pizza. Anybody have a heart-shaped pizza?
We did that once.
Oh, that was awesome. That was one of our first Valentine's Day. You know, that was pretty fun,
and
actually.
Rocky.
So I admittedly actually went to Meijer today, this afternoon, to pick up a card for Heather. I had other things planned. I had the flowers good to go. I just didn't have the card, right? And it was like Best Buy on Black Friday, but all dudes.
The card aisle swamped.
And like no dude wanted to make eye contact with anybody. We're like, I don't want, you know why I'm here. I know why you're here. Let's not talk about it. And everybody's like trying to like as manly as possible, just grip flowers and just like, I better stop by the protein aisle on the way out, you know? And when I was driving today, I didn't even tell you this. When I was driving today, nobody else was walking. I saw this dude walking with a fistful of flowers. And like, I don't know if he saw me, but like from my car window, I was just like, yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. It was so good. But there's so much pressure, right? Even with this day, like I was even thinking, man, this is even pressure, like what not to do or what would, man, we got to plan this event. Like, or even like, man, if you're in a relationship, like how far do I go? Right? Is this a flower level? Is this a chocolate level? Is this a sex level? Is this a makeout level? Like, what level are we at this point? Right? And there's so much pressure. There's so much like stress and anxiety, and it comes from all different places, right? It comes from inside and outside and friends and, I mean, everywhere. But when we're talking about love, man, let's look at the definition of love from the one who created love. God didn't just create you. He created everything about you. He created everything about your physical body. And he wasn't like, oops, I guess there's things that trigger orgasms and sex. And oh man, I shouldn't have invented that sex thing. I know they're going to mess it up, right? No, God invented that. It's good. It's supposed to happen a lot in marriage, but still a lot. Okay. It's a good thing. God has blessed it, right? He blessed them and said, be fruitful. He didn't Amen. Shame them and say, try to be really pure and eventually have kids, right? No, he blessed their bodies. He blessed their spirit. He said, this is something that is of me. Man, that's powerful to think about. You look at Song of Solomon, the whole thing's about love and sex and everything else, right? And it's not just this whimsical allegory for Jesus and the church. Because something doesn't add up, right? It's like that. I can't picture how that would be Jesus in the church, right?
Where my C and my T interns at, right? Yeah, we know that now. It literally is about King Solomon and his concubine that he married and what they did in detail.
I remember avoiding that whole book. I was so nervous about sex when I was in high school and call and yeah, probably everywhere, every time. Like there was a sex like notes, like I had a study Bible, like cool teen study Bible, and it had like a sex page on it, and I would like flip real quickly past it because clearly I'm not supposed to read that in the Bible. It was awkward. Okay, so, but this is the very definition of love. Love is not emotional. That's not the foundation of it. It does affect our emotions. Does that make sense? It does affect our emotions. Anybody who's loved somebody else, you can't keep that in check from just your emotions. We do crazy things. We drive crazy distances when we're really, really tired, right? When I was falling in love with Heather, I was stopping at green lights and blazing through red lights because I could not pay attention to the road.
It's really exciting.
It was amazing. And that was just after like one Starbucks day.
The first one.
It was awesome. But this is the definition of love. It's sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. So anytime that we hear about love, if it's not under the understanding of sacrifice, then really it's not God's definition of love. If it's self-focused, it's not love. And that's sometimes it's a realigning that we have to have if we want to be biblical Christians, if we want to be people that follow Jesus. Love is very powerful and has that impact on our emotions. But love has always been an action. It has always been a sacrifice. That has never changed. It doesn't matter what Snapchat says. It doesn't matter what we see on Facebook or Instagram or anything. It's never changed. It's always been sacrificial act towards somebody else. And that's powerful.
That's how Jesus lived it out. So to give you some context for like, okay, what does it mean to have sacrifice in a relationship? We're just going to hit on some things that you've probably heard before in the context of Chi Alpha. And we call these things our three anchors. You guys, if you're going through the LTC, you've heard this. Real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility. We want to, when we think about loving people, relationships, dating, friendship, and otherwise, we want to think in terms of sacrifice for them. So if this is the life that we are trying to live out, that we have a real devotional life with Christ, that we experience authentic community as the body of Christ, and we join with him in his mission, then how should sacrificial love impact these areas?
Absolutely. So we got some questions for you guys, okay? So big question is not that this is just enabling us to have our devotional life, and is this relationship enabling my devotional life or my community or my responsibility or mission, but is this enabling it in the other person? And remember, this is not just about dating relationships, but all relationships. Is my interaction with that person empowering these three areas of their life, these crucial anchors that they have to have? Is my interaction blessing that, empowering that, right?
When he says that, does that like do something for you of like, oh, I would love to have another person think about that in my life? Like if the person that I spend my life with thinks about how can I be a blessing in your life? Oh, I'm just going to go on a limb and say all the girls in the room are like internally saying yes, you know, like, oh, that feels so good. Yeah. Right. Because there's so much pressure on women to be something. And we constantly feel like we're not enough. But instead to have someone who's like, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for how I can be more for you and do more for you and to love you more and to bless you more. Gosh, that strikes a chord in our God-made design.
Absolutely. Hey, so just so you know, we're not ramping up. This is the point, okay? This is the one point for tonight, okay? We're already here.
Sacrifice.
Okay, this is the climax of the night, okay? Okay, man, you guys are slow.
They're
okay.
Like hanging on your every juicy word.
Okay. So, hey, just a question about real devotional life. Is the time that we require of somebody else, is that enabling their devotion to Jesus? Is that empowering them? That's a great question to ask. When we're saying, is what I require and expect of them, is that healthy? Is that empowering? It's not just, is it okay? Is it empowering their devotion to Jesus? Man, I think if you just sat on that question right there, that'd be amazing. Okay? One of the things that I'll always remember, this amazing woman of God named Alicia Sholey.
My favorite author.
She just kind of randomly said this in one of her messages. She said, my husband and I give each other the gift of a monthly prayer retreat. And I was like, what? Like, first of all, how do you have the time? First of all, like, and I was just like, I was blown away by the sacrifice of that. And I loved how they give each other the gift of that. And they've been married for decades. They say, you are so important to me, but your relationship with Jesus is even more. And so I'm going to bless you to go do that. And I'm not going to call you every 5 minutes when you're gone. Oh, man, that's so good. Right? Man, just that's devotional life. Right? You want to do community?
Yeah. Okay. How does our relationship impact the other person's real community? Are their friends excited about our relationship? Hey, this matters because what we're talking about is, can we be in community together? And we're going to hit on that more here in a minute, but do their friends feel welcome into our relationship? Do we double date? You know, not that double dates are the magic answer, but they are inviting other people in to our rhythms as a couple or as people in relationship.
If you can't find a double date, that's probably a red flag.
A trigger. Yeah. Am I enabling, here's a good question for guys. Am I enabling her girls to build a deepening relationship with her? I can remember when we were engaged, we had just gotten engaged in August. And so my birthday's in September. So it would be the first birthday we were celebrating, you know, like engaged. And I was really excited for it. And Andy straight up blindfolds me and he's taking me somewhere and I'm so excited. And I get there and he sits me down at this table and he takes my blindfold off and my best friend is sitting there. And then Andy gives me a couple presents and he leaves. And we looked at each other. We're like, we never get to do this, you know? And here we are dressed up fancy at one of my favorite Mexican restaurants. And we are spending the whole night together. He did not have the night for himself, right? I always remember that. But then
and if
I
you don't
read,
know, Mexican food is her love language. You know, quality time, you know, physical touch is way up there. And then right underneath is Mexican food.
Tori, so. You had my tacos the other night. Yep. Am I enabling my man to still be one of the guys? This is really important because if y'all are going to get married and then later on you're going to have marital problems, you are. He's going to need some men to talk to because it's going to take you years to figure out how to speak that love language or how to speak bro or whatever they call it. Okay?
It's not as much men to talk to. It's men to play basketball with.
To burn off the frustration so that when he comes home, he's in a good mood, right?
Guys, you're going to still need a guy to go to one of those axe throwing like restaurants where you just like, yeah, right? You still need that even
you
after
stop
you're married, okay?
Being a man
and you're not
a
thinking
woman.
About who's on the other end of the
you
axe. You're just saying, I just need to vent, right?
Yes.
Guys, we need sports still, okay? I love my wife, but she does not fulfill that desire and that deep-seated need in me to hit somebody that has a ball and I'm just going to crush them as hard as I can, okay?
Jay can appreciate this because recently Andy was kind of, I don't know, you had a bunch of pent-up energy.
Okay, I was like, where are you going with this?
And I looked at him and I said, you need to have an OMH. I need you to go call the guys.
Old man hangout.
And have an old man hangout. Because we're
so
10
true.
Years out of college now, 11. And now we call them the old men.
Yep.
But they weren't
someday
old when we married
them. Someday you can be an old man and you can hang out. Okay, that's good. Okay, we got to keep rolling. So, yep. Hey, last one is just real responsibility. Okay, when we're talking about responsibility, their responsibility to Jesus, their responsibility to the mission of God, right? Does my relationship with them, here's a question. Does a guy's calling negate the girl's calling? Absolutely not.
Yeah, we're not talking about that kind of sacrifice. I'll give up everything for you.
Guys, when you marry a girl, you do not negate, null and void her calling. It's a blend of callings. You have to figure that out, right? Mm-hmm. And so is my relationship, my interaction, my future, is it negating her calling? Not just a calling in the big picture, but now, right?
Right now.
Just recently, Heather got invited to be on this women in ministry cohort with National Chi Alpha. And she got called by one of the persons from National Chi Alpha. And I was like, super excited about it, but I was like, oh, that means you're not going to be around as much. Like, I'm going to have to probably cook dinner more, and I'm going to have to, like, do stuff that I don't want to do more. But I was frustrated, but, man, I was like, but that's what you're good at, babe. You're amazing at women, you get that. You get asked regularly to do that stuff. And so I wanted to empower you to do that, right? So, man, I want to make dinner a few more nights, or I want to do things that I need to do to enable our family, right? So that Heather, my amazing wife, can still fulfill the calling that God has on her life, right? So this is not just something that you figure out in dating and then you're set. Man, you go through this engagement and marriage and kids, right? You're enabling, and all this stuff is talking about, are we empowering their devotional life? Are we empowering their community? Are we empowering their responsibility, their mission of God that God has placed on their heart? Man, I do not want to get between God's calling on Heather. None of you all want to be between that, right?
And vice versa.
And you don't want to be that between your spouse or your whatever, right?
And especially if you are, and I say just not to downplay it, because we're going to talk about the importance of dating, but if you are just dating, man, that is the no zone. you have no right to that territory, that space of that person and their relationship with Jesus. It's off limits.
You just don't have the trump card yet.
Not yet.
Okay. All right. So, we actually have to move on because we have a few things. We just have too much fun. Okay. And so we could be here till 10 o'clock. But the cool thing is we have Reconnect at the Chi Alpha house, and somebody called it something funny. What was it, Brianna?
Extra juicy.
Okay, so this is some
there
juice.
There might be some juicy bingo.
This is some juice. We don't want to miss the extra juice. Okay, so we're just gonna shift gears a little bit. Okay, so everybody, shift in your seats. You do that. Okay, so I think we have a graphic. Looks like a target. Maybe no. Nope. Okay. Imagine a target. Everybody, close your eyes. Ignore the parental advisory. Imagine a target.
A circle, and it gets smaller towards the center.
Yeah, a target. You got it. Okay, at the center. Oh, you're going there.
No, it's Valentine's Day. We're talking about Target. Tomorrow, all their stuff's going to be on sale.
Oh. My mind went a totally different direction.
Discipleship at Target tomorrow. Woo.
Okay. All right. You guys are not imagining this Target thing. And the center of the Target is great. One circle out of that is okay. One circle out of that is caution. Maybe it's yellow or orange. And the circle outside of that is danger. Okay, that's what you're imagining. Okay, great. Okay, caution, danger. Okay?
It'd be like me hitting Sarah with the dart earlier.
Yes.
That's the danger zone.
That's the danger zone. That's good. Okay, you can open your eyes. Hey, guys, who wants to be in the friend zone?
Ooh.
Yeah. No, you don't.
That's a lie.
Either I asked you too quick and you weren't paying attention, or you're just being funny.
Brianna's very funny.
No man wants to be in the friend zone, right? Yep. Okay.
Man, so, you are such an awesome friend.
Yeah. Man, you're such a good friend, and you're like, oh, yeah, you're like a brother to me. I feel crushed.
I'd love to tell you all my stuff because you're a great brother.
But I never want to date you, right? Okay. All right. The friend zone's like the danger zone. That's the no-go zone. You don't want to go there. Okay. So here are some things. We're gonna rapid fire these things at you. Okay. Here are some things that.
Time tested.
Okay, remember the parental advisory. If this hits home,
it's not about you.
It's not about you, but it's about you. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so.
I'm going to kick it off.
Yeah, you ready? Go for it.
If we are shooting for the center of the target, the great area, it is worth it to say publicly from the mic that it is okay to be single. I just want to start there, okay? Can I just take some pressure off? Of like everybody who's like counting down the days till graduation, wondering, have I met them yet? Have I met them yet? How much time do I have before we have to start planning this wedding, right? Everybody gets married right after they graduate college. No. We want to be a community where we aren't trying to set everyone up with everybody. We celebrate each other's singleness. We do not mock it and we do not downplay it. You know why? Because Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians and he said, hey, if you're single, I think it would be better if you would just stay that way. He wrote it in the Bible.
Paul.
How dare
Shame
he?
Shame on you, Paul.
But you know why? Okay, in the kingdom of God, you have just as much value as a single person, as you do as a married person, as someone who is dating. Cool. Your value does not change according to your relationship status.
Amen.
You're not more powerful because now you're this dynamic ministry team, right? No, that's not how the kingdom of God works.
Well, you might be more powerful, but your value to Jesus doesn't change, right?
I think you're right.
I'm better with you.
I agree with that on my end, too.
Thanks.
That was off the cuff. I wasn't prepared.
Yeah, good.
Paul writes, now for the matters you wrote about, because they wrote him a letter and said, hey, we're having marriage and getting married problems. He said, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Now to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. Paul's bragging about his singleness. How often do people do that? But if they cannot control themselves, they should just marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. This will go into the topic later about long courtships and why that's hard. But the context of these verses in the entire seventh chapter is Paul responding to the Corinthian churches about marriage and relationships. And in verse 7:26, he gives us a hint. And he says, because of the present crisis, I think it is good for a man to remain as he is. What he's saying is that there is a lot of, like, there's a lot happening in Corinth at that point and in the Corinthian church. You might even say that they are finding and fighting and feeding new disciples.
Yeah.
And the church is forming right now. And Paul is saying, look, there is a lot of heat on us right now as a body. Yeah. We are in a fight. Because we are in a fight, there are some major things that could distract us. One of those being starting new relationships. And he's like, if you're not married, let's not think about that right now. Let's just get through this season.
Can I go too juicy for a moment? It'd be like, you guys watched Super Bowl. Some of you guys watched it, right? And there was one of the Eagles guy that he kissed his wife. And it was awesome like when the Super Bowl trophy was going by. It'd be like his wife calling him up at halftime and say, meet me in the locker room. Let's have sex right now. That's what Paul's talking about. He's like, don't do that, right?
Is that guy going to be able to finish the
fight,
Super Bowl?
There's a fight no. that's going on, okay? Yeah. This is a legit problem, an issue with sports teams where, like, coaches sometimes say, hey, no sex before the game. Mm-hmm. Because it distracts you. It's not that that issue is particularly bad or wrong. It's because it divides your heart, mm-hmm. right? So when we're in a season of fighting for people, man, there may be good things that come along the way, but it may just not be the right time. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, man, it's okay. It's okay to be single. It's okay to be single now. It's okay to be single your whole college career. It's okay to be single for a long time.
And this goes along with sacrificing for the other person's, like, real responsibility. Man, if you're aware that, like, that person is, let's say, going through the LTC, the leadership training class right now, and they are excited because they are feeling empowered about becoming disciple makers of Jesus. And then, you know, good-looking Joe comes along and he's like, hey, what are you doing?
You want to make disciple makers together?
Right, yeah. And
LTC pickup line. Hey, you look like a good disciple maker.
Is he laying down his immediate wants for her long-term gain?
Yeah.
Well, in the kingdom of God, that's how we do it. Mm. Cool?
Cool. So it's okay to be single. You guys okay with that? All right. Hey, so next thing, I'm just going to do this one quick. So some of you guys may not even know what this term is.
Let's take singleness to a whole new level.
Yeah, let's like go extreme single here, okay? Yeah, extreme single. Not your hating.
I heard a groan out there.
Not ready. Hey, who's heard of a dating commitment? Or like a commitment not to date, okay? Let me just define this for you guys, okay? Because there may be some, you may have heard it, may have not. Okay, a dating commitment or a commitment to not date for a season is basically like a fast, okay? When you do a fast, let me let you know, if you sleep in and you forget to eat breakfast and you just go till lunch, is that a fast? No, you just forgot. Right? You can forget multiple times. You can forget multiple meals in a row. You can forget, you can fast all the way till dinner and be like, I just, classes and
Why
exams and like, I'm oh. hungry, right? But nobody would call that a fast. Okay. So
no purpose.
Here's my definition or, you know, my opinion of what a dating commitment is. So basically it's a time that's consecrated, that's set apart to solely focus on Jesus.
In a world that is sex crazed.
And relationship craze and emotional craze and everything else craze. Because I don't know about you guys, but man, when I set my heart to do something, like the opposite becomes a lot more tempting. If I'm physically fasting, any brownie within arm's reach is going to be gone real quick, right? Or it's like candy. Oh, I don't even know what happened. Like it just went into my mouth.
I don't even
right?
like that candy.
I don't even like that candy, but I'm eating it, right? So there, there's been numerous college students, including myself, including Heather, including a lot of people that you may know of or be aware of, that have actually went on a season of consecration away from relationships. Man, it's been powerful. Okay? So I'm trimming this down so I got to figure. Okay, so here's a marker. A 1 month, that's just not a dating commitment. That's like skipping breakfast, okay? I'm talking the realm of like 6 months,
or
maybe
a year.
I knew somebody that took a multi-year dating commitment. Now, that's like you're way single for a long time, you know? But the thing is, they dedicated it to Jesus, and they didn't hide it from people. They didn't brag about it. Like, you don't brag about fasting. But they told a few close friends and said, you know what? I just need this. I just need this.
And I'll
just be frank. There's probably people in here right now that just need this. Okay? Now look, you know, because we need Jesus. We need his relationship. We need to know his voice louder than to know our emotions, to know our fickle nature. Okay? So if you want to talk about that, man, we'd love to touch base later. You can talk to somebody that's went on a legit one, you know.
But we love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
And so there's something powerful of taking a season of our lives and saying, I want to know him more. And you might be saying, I'm doing that with my whole life right now. But even you know the difference between a time that you are seeking the Lord and a time that you are fasting and seeking the Lord.
It's like when you really decide to turn off Netflix, now you're studying.
I mean, what is today? Today's Ash Wednesday. Lent starts today. That may or may not be on your radar, but it's on my radar. And there's just something about consecrating and preparing our hearts to be intimate and to appreciate and to worship him more fully and wholly. And one of the things that you could do is say, for this season, I'm not going to focus on the dating hunt.
Hmm.
Right?
I think we should skip the next one.
Yeah. Adam, let's skip the next one. And let's go to, it's okay to have the talk. Well, what naturally comes after singleness? Well, eventually, hopefully, maybe a lot of you want to be in a relationship. So talk about it, right? Man, we used to call this the DTR, and we'd make lots of jokes about the DTR.
Anybody heard that term before?
Define the relationship. That could be...
Someone's like, I don't want to.
Yeah, like that could be really ominous talk, you know, like, oh, I got to sit her down and I got to tell her how I feel, right? Or I just want to put this out there. Girls, there's nothing in scripture that says that you can't start that talk. There's nothing that says that you're not allowed to say, hey, I'm noticing something here. I just wanted to know where we are.
Did you come over to borrow my chemistry book, or was that like a subtle hint of like, you want to be in a thing, you know, like you want to marry me? Was that like a cheap proposal, you know? You left a ring when you returned your bag. Was that for me? Because I was kind of sly. Just didn't really hit home.
It's okay for the girl to initiate, especially if the dude is dragging his feet or she notices that he's playing the field. And if she is being played, it's okay for her to ask. Okay?
You might have to do more than ask. You might just have to corner them.
Because that's one of the ways that we show respect and we live with respect and honor for ourselves. And so... In the family, we speak the truth in love, but sometimes we need to speak the truth. And sometimes that conversation is going to result in, you know, I'm madly attracted to you, Heather. And then she's going to say, the feelings are mutual.
Which totally worked.
Which I really said. It was so unromantic.
Now it feels unromantic, but back then I was like, oh, yeah, this is it, man. This is it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. It's okay to date your sister. Yeah. Okay.
Too juicy.
Or your brother. Okay. But basically, the idea with that is, man, it's okay to date in the family. I love. Yeah. To be like, I don't understand. Let me.
In the family of God.
I love that Bill Schrader talked about this 2 years ago about how, man, we are brothers and sisters. That should reorient our understanding of physical boundaries, physical relationships, physical interaction. We're brothers and sisters. You care for your sister in such a way. You care for your brother in such a way. You fight for them. You defend them. You empower them, right? Maybe you struggle through the middle school whenever, you know, you hate your brother, you hate your sister, whatever. But man, in the end, you will fight for your sister. You will defend them, right? Yeah. So as we're thinking about our interactions, not just dating, but the whole gamut, man, we are brothers and sisters. And so if we enter in a relationship or we interact with them in any way, man, they are our sister. They are our brothers, right?
And this is the eternal family.
Oh, yeah.
This is the family that we have forever and forever. And so we want to treat each other with honor. And the big juicy thing that Bill pointed out was that if you would not touch your biological sister there, you do not touch your spiritual sister there, right? Until she is your wife. And the same thing goes, if you would not show your brother that.
Or send them that, snap them that.
Why would you do that? Yeah. In the family, because it doesn't show respect for your own self, and it doesn't model respect of like, hey, I want you to succeed with Jesus, so I thought I'd snap you this. I don't know if you wanted to hit on the community part at all, but
no, it's good.
Okay, we talked about real community earlier, and I just want to throw it out there that one of the benefits of dating in the family of God is that there is community, and it's. Can I just get like an, you know, like a too juicy amen that it is hard to navigate relationships?
Too juicy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And sometimes it just helps to have people that you can fail and learn with around you. People that can speak into your relationship. People that can like call you on the carpet and say, oh, I just tell you this real quick story. I had a girl that I was mentoring for several years. She and I had just become really close friends. And after she had graduated, we sat across the table from each other one day, and she called me out on something disrespectful I had done to Andy. And she did it in such a graceful and grace-filled and loving way. She's like, hey, I don't think you meant this. She's like, but I noticed that this happened. And I thought, I am going to be a better wife now that somebody pointed this out to me. I am so glad. But if we had done our relationship so that people did not have access to us and that my friendship, my relationship that I invested in with her didn't have that kind of openness, then I would not have become better at loving Andy in that moment. So a great opportunity. People should have access. They should have say. And they should, if they're wrong, have the grace to be brushed off of like, that was weird. I think they grew up in a weird town. So, you know, like... Not everything that everybody says is from Jesus, but that's okay because there's freedom to fail here. And we do relationships in community because it's okay to fail. Speaking of failure, hey, did you know that it's okay to break up? Thank you, right? There's so much pressure that I'm a Christian and I'm dating someone, this must be God's calling on my life.
Or if that you're trying really hard and you thought it was the right one.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Heather and I do not come from a stance that there is a soulmate. Mm-hmm. Because what happens if you miss your soulmate?
I know.
Then you're never going to get your soulmate back. We don't believe that's not founded in Scripture. Obedience to Jesus is founded in Scripture.
Right.
Right? If we're disobedient to Jesus, there's grace.
You know, we were both dating people before each other that we could have married. And
Absolutely.
We would have had productive, Jesus-loving lives with.
I was thinking about this. Everyone that I can think of, every one of my friends in college that is loving Jesus now and is married, broke up at some point in college. And I'm not saying that's the prescription for everybody, but that's surprising to me. I thought, man, that makes it okay. Because sometimes, you guys remember the target, sometimes we have so much pressure to get it perfect every time. Sometimes you're trying so hard to hit the target that you completely miss it. Mentally, you're so focused, like Shaun White last Olympics. He's so focused on getting the gold, he missed the entire podium, right? And he took some time back. He said, I'm going to go for okay. I'm going to get back to my roots. I'm going to get back to my foundation. Guys, that's what we need in relationships, not the pressure to get it perfect every single time. It's okay
Amen.
To break up. It's okay to have a misstep. It's okay to take a step back. And we want to be a community. Want to be a community that can have grace on each other for that, right? Not shame or not awkwardness or like, oh my goodness, it didn't work out, right? Man, we're a community of grace, right? We're a community of love, second chances, right? Because that's the community of the Father. That's the family that God is creating.
When you are 20 years old, it is unfair for there to be such pressure on you that you have navigated the voice of the Lord correctly, that you have heeded all of the advice of books that you've ever read, that you look the way that you think you should compared to this magazine. And so now I am officially ready and this must be it. And we are approved by everybody that I think should approve us and not by the people I don't want to talk to. You know, like there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
Not in God's family. Because he has grace on his kids and he knows in our brokenness that we are learning to navigate this. If there is freedom in other areas of life to make mistakes, why can there not be freedom here? And why can we not do relationships so much in community that the community is still there even after the breakup? Amen. We had coffee with my ex-fiance when we were in California. I'm not saying that we do that every day, but I am saying that it's pretty normal. And we invited each other to each other's weddings. It's better to break up than to force it to work. Breakups are hard and emotional. Guys, you need to surround dudes when this happens.
That's like the axe throwing competition.
Yeah,
that's when this comes in play.
Yeah. Or like Top Golf or something, or you can just whack things hard for a while. Because it hurts, right?
If you need to point out a tree behind the Kyle house that you just fall or need to go at, yeah, we'll point out a couple
for you.
Take care
of it. Yeah. Girls need to have sleepovers and pajama parties. They need to mourn and eat food and cry. To surround them and tell them that they're pretty and that they're good enough and that somebody else is going to love them. Because... a breach of intimacy is not God's design. But hey, let me tell you, the breakups could go a whole lot better if how we handle the relationship isn't full of brokenness. It's going to be a whole lot easier to yield to the Lord and to hear his voice when he's beckoning you away if you have not fondled each other or exposed your nakedness to each other or had sex or gone to places that... you were thinking, well, I'm going to marry them, so it's okay if we do this. Right? I mean, I know a couple where they broke up and the guy was just crying. He's like, we had oral sex all the time, and it's because I was going to marry her. You know, so I just thought that was okay. And the brokenness that he's experiencing, let alone what she's experiencing, that's her first boyfriend ever, right? And now for the rest of her life, she's living with these images and with that pressure and with that expectation and that failure. If we had done it in community, if everyone would do relationships within community and with this mutual respect and sacrificial love, then we could do breakups without regrets.
That's good.
And that will continue to promote the unity of the body.
Yeah.
We still have to serve Jesus even if our relationships don't work. And the other person has to serve Jesus. So how can we even set each other up for success in the end?
Hey, will you guys stand with me? So we talked about a lot. But the big thing, the big takeaway, man, love is sacrifice. Love is sacrifice geared towards somebody else, right? That was designed that way. It was created that way. It was explained that way. And it was demonstrated that way. God sacrificed himself because he loved us. His action of sacrificial love was to send Jesus to us to take away the punishment, to cover our weaknesses, to cover our shame, so that we could have a restored, redeemed relationship with him. Now, we're just going to close in prayer over you guys and bless you guys. If you guys want to pray after this, we'll stay up here for a few minutes. And this is not a counseling session, but we will pray with you. If you want to set up a time to talk through things, man, you can DM us and we'd be happy to talk through these
things. Send us a text. We'd love to talk to you about singleness, dating, marriage, whatever you want to talk about.
Cool. Would you guys close your eyes? We just want to pray a blessing over you guys. Can you just stand in a posture of openness towards him? Lord Jesus, would you be our first love? Bless us. Be near to us. Be our first love. God, would you occupy all of our thoughts? Would you occupy all of our heart, all of our emotions? Father, we repent for not making you first, for not making you our first love. God, we repent from withholding sacrifice that is due to you, withholding love that is due you. Father, would you forgive us? God, we thank you for grace.
That's right.
Thank you for grace. Thank you that it's okay to be okay. It's okay to rest in your grace and in your care and in your compassion. You invented grace, and we lovingly and humbly receive it. Thank you, God.
Lord, we ask that you would empower us to see love the way that you designed it and you lived it out. We model every other part of our life after you. Lord, may we all of us, increasingly learn how to model this part of life after you. We desire to see our relationships in light of sacrifice and to cherish in a new way your sacrifice. Lord, would you help us cherish each other as loved brothers and sisters? God, I pray that even after tonight, we would look in the faces of one another and raise value, yes, Jesus. Raise honor, and raise respect. We ask for and we receive your blessing because you are an abundant Father who pours out good gifts on your children. Would you powerfully and supernaturally bless our community so that we might reflect your glory in all that we do and say? We ask that you would enable us to love as you love,
yeah,
and sacrifice,
yes,
as you sacrifice. Oh, in the beautiful, loving name of the one who laid it all down for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.